Welcome to the Good Glow podcast with Kimberly Gallagher. This season of the Good Glow is brought to you with thanks to Boyne Valley Honey. Boyne Valley Honey is the official breakfast partner of Pieta's Darkness into Light 2026, proudly supported by Electric Ireland. Why not take part in the Darkness into Light walk on May 9th at 4:15 a.m. at a location near you? This is such a powerful moment of connection and support. I'll be there at the Phoenix Park. I can't wait to feel the collective energy of doing something so important and special as communities come together and raise funds to support suicide and self-harm prevention. There's more info on darknessintolight.ie. I'll also leave this link in the show notes. And don't forget to pick up a promotional pack of Boyne Valley Honey in stores nationwide with 25 cent going to Pieta, because even if you can't make the event, you can still support such an important cause. Welcome along to the Good Glow podcast with Feng Shui expert Kimberly Gallagher. I'm so excited for you to hear this chat today. So Feng Shui is a topic that I've wanted to cover on the Good Glow for such a long time, but this week felt like really good timing. Kimberly has hundreds of thousands of followers online, and this week people really resonated with something she was saying about the year of the horse, and we talk all about it in part two of the podcast. But in part one, she explains what Feng Shui is, how our homes could be working against us in terms of sleep, relationships, finances. And she gives us simple things that we can do at home to shift our energy. It's so interesting. Then we get into part two, the bigger picture. We're in the year of the horse. And if 2026 hasn't gone the way that you've expected so far, you're not alone. According to Kimberly, the first few months of this year have felt very heavy for a reason. But what's coming next could be incredibly powerful. She gives us a few jobs to do this weekend and this week as we head into May before the horse starts to gallop. I was so interested in this conversation. And right at the end, I share something about my own bedroom and how I wake up in the middle of the night feeling very fearful. And Kimberly cracks the code straight away and gives me simple tools that I can do to shift the energy in my bedroom and move forward with my life. Absolutely loved it. I hope you enjoy it. So over to Kimberly. Kimberly Gallagher, welcome to the Good Glow. Tell us about you. Like, where in the world are you? I feel like this is the perfect time to have you as a guest on the Good Glow. So thank you for making the time for us.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. And it is, the timing at the minute in this conversation is just perfect. So I'm from the UK. Originally, I live on the Gold Coast in Australia. So we moved over here about 3 years ago. And I am a Feng Shui expert, and I'm here to try and blend astrology. Feng Shui is like astrology for the home. It's like acupuncture for the home. It's all about energy in the home and how it impacts us. And so if we can understand what's happening, I just feel that we can prepare for this year a little bit better.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, I've always wanted to cover this topic on the Good Glow, and I've followed you for so long. And this week, I've been so interested in everything that you're talking about, and we're going to get into the year of the horse. But for anybody that's completely new to Feng Shui, and it's a completely, entirely new concept to them, give us a little bit of the background and how we can use it for our home.
So I think it helps by saying that I haven't always been into it. I've had an eclectic CV. I was a teacher for 10 years as well, and I got made redundant in lockdown. And I just was thinking there must be something that I can do that I'm passionate about, that, you know, I tried to start a business and I was like banging my head against a brick wall, and everything just felt a lot, obviously, in lockdown. It was a lot, but nothing was sort of going right for me. And I stumbled across the podcast of a Feng Shui consultant talking to, you know, the host about how you can do things in your home to attract a partner in your life. And I remember listening because I was literally like vacuuming my home because that was like the only thing to do. And I just remember thinking, what a load of rubbish. Like, how on earth, by changing some stuff in your home, can you attract a partner in your life? And a couple of weeks later, this lady did meet someone. Now, it wasn't her perfect partner. So that's a lesson in terms of what we put out there and being very specific in terms of what we want. But when that happened, I thought, right, I'm going to Google this and I'm going to prove it wrong. And actually, what I found was that it's about 4,000 years old-ish, give or take a few years. And I thought, well, if it was not true, if it was a bit of a fad, then surely by now we would have found out about it. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't still be practicing. And then the list of people who practice to whatever an extent, who bring in the concept of feng shui, and you can say it anyway, you can say feng shui, however you like. I think that's one of the things that puts people off is you don't know how to pronounce it. But, you know, just it's energy in the home. And we've got everyone from Richard Branson to the Beckhams, reportedly, you know, and Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow. And Richard Branson was reportedly saying, well, why wouldn't I? Like, why wouldn't I want to create an environment where people felt better? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think whether that's in a home, people are going to get on better. If you think that's in a business, people are going to feel happier. They're going to stay longer, less sick days, more success. Whether it's in hotels, people are going to relax more. They're going to spend more money. They're going to want to come back again. So all it is about being aware that your home has energy and doing these little practices that can improve the flow of energy in your home. And some homes have great energy. And you will know, deep down, you will know if your home is on your side or not. Because some homes, they've got a sense of humor, it's really light and it's fun. Or you might think, well, you know, in terms of personality, your home's stubborn, it's really stuck in the mud, it's really cold. Like, what does your house feel like? And does it feel like it's supporting you? So when you come home, do you sleep well? Do you feel that you're supported, that there's good communication, there's not many arguments? You know, every home is going to have arguments. I can't stop rubbish stuff happening. I wish I could, because, you know, that would be really easy. But what it feels like is that you can get through anything and your home will support you through that. Homes where you're going round in circles. So it might be financial circles. It might be relationship circles, argument circles, health circles, just going round and round. And that tells me that the energy is stuck. And so energy wants to move. Trapping energy is like trapping a toddler in a room. Like, it will just eventually have a meltdown. And that's what will happen with the energy in your home. So we've got to be thinking like out with the old and in with the new. So I was reading all of this and I thought, why don't I know about it? Like, I'm trying to do my best in lockdown, trying to get a business off the ground, trying to homeschool, all of that jazz. And it feels pretty sticky, putting it politely. And so I was like, right, I've got to get my home feng shui'd, like whatever that is. I didn't even know what it was, but I was like, I'm in, I'm in for this. And we use the five elements to balance the energy in the home. So if you've ever had acupuncture, you've got these different meridians, these different lines of energy. And sorry for any acupuncturists listening that I'm, you know, simplifying this to this extent, but all of this energy is running around your body and it's powered by different elements. And it's the same in the home. So we'll have earth energy in the home and that's really grounding. It's that toes in the sand sort of feeling. We have water energy, which is the flow, but it's also emotion as well. So then we have metal energy, which is really supportive, but also can feel quite cold. And we have fire energy. So this is is your home, does it feel like it needs waking up or is it too much? And it's just all a bit hectic in the home. So all of these elements have good sides and bad sides. And when they're out of balance, that's how we feel, like too emotional. Things are too stuck, too heightened. There's no growth, like all of these things. So my job is to come into your home, find out what's happening energetically, and I balance it. If your home is too heavy and the energy isn't flowing, you're putting your intentions out there to the universe, but it's not reaching it. So it's a bit like having a mobile phone in the middle of the woods. Like, you've got the tools to make the call, but you can't get the reception out there. And yeah. That's what it's like in your home. So you're like, please help me with this. Stop the arguments. Please make me feel better. And, you know, let me win the lotto. All of these things. But if it's not going anywhere, then nothing is helping you. So,
and you're just getting more and more exhausted.
Totally. Totally. And that's where the burnout, the overwhelm, the not sleeping, the arguments, because it's like a pressure cooker in your home. That energy isn't going anywhere. And I am quite often people's last resort. And so it's quite heavy sometimes. And, yeah. You know, I shed many tears because of what people are going through. But I'm also so honoured and blessed that people feel that they can trust me with this, their problems, their issues, whatever it is, and turn their lives around for them. And, you know, this magic can happen in so many ways. Sometimes it's calm. Sometimes it's a very neurodiverse household, and it just feels 10% better. But really the magic for me is people bringing a sense of calm and happiness and support into their home.
And it makes sense, right? Because say with manifesting gets a bad rep because... you know, people who don't fully understand it will say, you can't just think things into existence. That's ridiculous. Whereas people who are actually manifesting know that you have to do the work. You know, you've set your intention or what you want to manifest. And then the most important thing is that you're showing up every day, and setting that intention for yourself is going to make you want to do the work. So the same with the home, I suppose, in that you're saying that people's energy changes and things that they've been waiting on happen. Is it because their setup is working for them as opposed to against them? So instead of working from maybe a depleted state, they feel enriched, they feel empowered, and they have space to move forward.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of both. Like, because it's funny, because my husband isn't spiritual at all. We couldn't be more literally yin and yang if we tried. Like, he works in construction and it's all, you know, very, very set. And here I am, you know, talking about energy in the home. But what I know is that when I look at somebody's energy in the home and I know it's heavy and I can clear it, then that energy is going to be cleared. People are going to be being more positive. And that is honestly why truly remarkable things happen, because you've got the power and the energy of your home, and you've got the mindset yourself as well. And if you've ever been to a house, it might be family, it might be like elderly relatives where they never open the door and the windows are closed all the time and they've got all the trinkets everywhere, like all of these things. And you go and spend some time with them and you feel utterly drained when you come out. Yeah. You feel really tired. Or there's homes where it is just pure chaos, down to the animals as well. Like, everybody is just
familiar.
There's no judgment here, honestly. Like, everyone is on that high level, and children and animals are the ones that pick up on it first. Mm. They are so open to this energy. And so in homes, if people come away feeling depleted, like, you know it because you've done what you can in your home to try and make it feel better, but that depleted energy is really heavy. And most of the time we choose our home based on a feeling, whether you're renting or whether you have bought it. So you look at the floor plan, so you see it all online and you go, yeah, this could be us, that's fine. You go in and you go, this feels great. Like, I can envision us living here. But then you might also turn down a beautiful house, and we've done it here, so it's absolutely stunning, but there's something about it that I don't like. It just doesn't feel right. And that feeling is the energy that home has. And it's like people. If you hang around somebody that is positive and good for you, it will bring out the best in you. And that's a vibration. You pick up on that. So if you hang around somebody with a good vibration, it will bring out that match. You will match their vibration. If somebody's really low, really annoyed, really negative, it's so easy to pick up on that. So if you think of a home as well, if your home has got a positive energy, it will make you feel better. If your home has got a lower stuck energy, you will feel stuck. And then you're going around in the circles. And it's really hard to keep up that mindset of that, you know, positive mental attitude when every day you're just being depleted and even more depleted. So you're right. I think it's two things. But when your home isn't supporting you, it's really hard to come out of it.
And for anybody listening, like, is there any tools that you can give us to evaluate what energy is in our homes currently?
Yeah, so I think we have amazing intuition, and a lot of feng shui is common sense. So yeah. You can go around your home, or even just think of your home and go, right, if I'm working, where do I go to work? And I can concentrate in that space. So that will then tell you that that energy is probably quite calm. It might be quite creative. Where in your home does the clutter attract? That every home has it, like literally a magnet for the bags, for the stuff, for the, like, your dumping room or the chair of doom, wherever that is. Like, that will be an energy that's a bit heavy and a bit stuck, because like attracts like, and you will just come into your home and all of a sudden you'll find that there'll just be a space where it sort of puts things. There might be an area of your home where things keep breaking. And actually this morning, there's a lady I followed, she's called Kate Lawler. She's like a TV sort of personality in the UK. And she posted this morning, she's got this water feature sort of next to her bed, and she said, I keep spilling this water. Like, why is it in this piece of my, like, this area of my house, I keep spilling water? And I was like, do I say something? Because I know I sound mental when I say it, but I was like, it's the feng shui in your home. It's your home saying that I've already got too much of this water energy, this emotional, this like deep sort of flowing energy, that if you put any more water here, I don't like it. Like, and I know that sounds really witchy.
No, it doesn't.
So it's things like things breaking in your home. If, like, what's your Wi-Fi like? Do you struggle to get Wi-Fi around your home? Wow. Do appliances keep breaking? Do you keep dropping glasses? So like when we first moved into our home, and I knew the energy because I'd analysed it, and our home's tricky, like it is a tricky home to settle down. But in our lounge, in our living room, we just kept dropping glasses on the coffee table. Like, and we're not that family, like we just knock stuff over. And it was because the energy isn't settled. So all of these things, think about in your bedroom, are there certain bedrooms or, and this is difficult, like with children, I guess, like what comes first, the chicken or the egg? But there might be some kids in the house that sleep well and some people in the home that don't. And it could be that one of those rooms is calmer than the other one. So, and it's all about whether your energy matches the space as well. So like between you and your partner in your bedroom, does one of you sleep better than the other? And it's whether your energies are matched. So my job is then to come in and balance it and just make it so that it's quite neutral, that it's still alive, so that it suits everybody. So just go around your home and just sit there for a minute, because I don't think we ever just sit in spaces, because there's always something to do. Like, we, as soon as we move into the home, we forget about that feeling. And the kitchen is where you cook, the bedroom is where you sleep, the TV, you know, the living room is where you watch TV. We forget that feeling. And so just sitting in your house and going, okay, where do the arguments happen? Do they always happen in one spot? Come away from there. If you know you've got to have a difficult conversation, even go and have it outside. And so you're not then bringing that energy in. Like, how does your house feel after you've had visitors? Our house doesn't like having visitors. It feels really weird afterwards. It's almost like, oh, I don't like other people. Like, so it just feels a little bit strange afterwards, like it holds onto it. And I think once you open your eyes up to the fact that your home has an energy, you can't unsee it. And that's all I want people to do, is for people to go, oh, could all this stuff that's been happening, could it be to do with the energy in my home, and that we don't just have really bad luck?
Whoa. So say, for example, what did you do in the area with the coffee table where you keep breaking?
So that's where So some homes, you can help by tweaking some things. Some homes need the big guns, and that would be me coming in, like not coming in, so I do it all remotely, but analysing it and saying, right, these are the physical things that you need to put in. So if you were just doing it by yourself and going, right, what can I do to improve the energy in my home? There's some rules that you can follow. And one of them is very much out with the old and in with the new, because this, as I've said before, this energy will keep circulating around your home. So the good energy is coming in through your front door. If you live in an apartment, this will be like your balcony view door. It's almost like the face of your home. Where is its like personality? That's the front, the feng shui front of your home. That's where the good stuff comes in. The back door is where the bad stuff leaves. Okay. So what I would do like daily is open your back door first, and intentionally, you know, it depends on how you don't mind people viewing it. You can be like, right, bad energy, off you trot. You can play energy cleansing music on Spotify if you want to, and just get it out, and then close the door and go, right, now intentionally, I'm going to open the front door. The front door is where these lovely opportunities come through. The new energy comes in. So you welcome that in. So that's the first thing. You've got rid of the old, the new's coming in. And then now that you've opened it up, how well and how easily can that energy flow through your home? Because the more stuff that's in the way, the harder it is for that energy to go around. So whoa, decor is fine. Clutter, not. So at the front door, quite often, it's the shoes, it's the bags, it's all of that stuff. So, and it doesn't have to be expensive. Literally like a laundry bin with a lid on so that it keeps the energy in. Like put your shoes in there, put your coats on the back of your toilet door, whatever, like keep them out so that that energy is clear and you're actually allowing this energy to then come in. And then as you go through your house, just have a look and say, how do I feel in this room? Does it need softening? So like where things break, like tripping things up, it needs softening. Like quite often that's too much of like the metal energy that's quite, it's a little bit cold. It's a little bit like metal. I mean, feng shui terminology can be quite harsh sometimes, and I sort of try and avoid using it, but metal can sometimes be known as like fighting swords, like the, yeah, that sharp sort of energy. So we just want to soften it. So how soft is your living room? Or if you feel that you go into your living room and you just nod off every night, then the energy is like too low. So we just need to bring it up a little bit. So it's like this recipe of life and energy in your home, like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And eventually you'll find the balance. And then finally, what I say to people is like, just make sure that the stuff in your home brings you like joy and happiness as well. Yeah. So the pictures in your home, the photos in your home, like don't have great aunt whoever in your living room if you dread seeing her in real life. Like these people don't deserve to constantly be having a cup of tea in your living room. Like if you wouldn't invite them over, then don't have them and use me as an excuse. And I think worldwide there must be so many people going, well, Kimberly said that you wouldn't have. So just be in charge. Like somebody might gift you something and it might be expensive. It might be like a diptyque candle. Other candles are available, but you know, they might buy you a candle and you're like, do you know what? I actually don't like the smell of it. Yeah. Don't have it. Like gift it on, or like, I'm sure somebody else would love it, but just your space is your own. And we pay so much money for our homes, whether that's renting or whether that's owning. And if you've got a whole room that is just on clutter, I'll not end with this because there'll be plenty of other things we can talk about, but we also divide the home into 9 different areas, and each of these areas represents an area of your life. So we use the compass. You stand in the middle of your home with your phone on your hand and you pivot around in a circle, find these areas. So for example, like the southeast of your home looks after wealth. Walk as far as you can in that direction in your home. We ignore walls, and it's about like an arm span width. That's how big this area is. If that looks after your wealth and that's your dumping room, that's going to be impacting your wealth. So as soon as you start, first of all, associating the energy in your home with how you feel, your daily routines, your relationships, your health, and then you go, oh my goodness, well, this looks after my wealth. And that room over there is my love and romance, which is the southwest, or the center being your health. All of a sudden, these really mundane, boring tasks of dusting and cleaning the windows or putting the clutter away, it gives meaning to it. And I think even that, then you're changing the energy. You're not, you know, you're not going, well, how many times I'm going to have to, you know, find the missing socks or whatever in the home. You're like, I'm doing this to put it away, to allow the energy to flow. And so everything is just about lifting your energy up.
Oh, I love it so much. And before we get into the year of the horse, Kimberly, just quickly go back, because I know people will be annoyed at me for not asking this question. But if there is an area of your house where the arguments are taking place, what action can we take there?
Clear it as much as you can of stuff. So like if it's in the kitchen and it's your kitchen side, most of the time arguments happen in the kitchen. And it's, again, what comes first? It is a space where most people gather. So you've got all of this energy in there. So the calmer you can keep it, the better. So keeping your kitchen side clear. I know the kitchen side is like a magnet for stuff, for keys, for water bottles, for bags and all of that stuff. Keep it clear, because if the energy can't move, it will get stuck. Have spaces where, if it is your kitchen, put your knife block away, for example. Like, don't have knives on the side, because again, they're quite sharp. They're quite daggery. Allow, if you can, to alter the lighting in the room. So bringing that energy down so people don't feel on all the time. So the idea is that, like at nighttime especially, that if a light is below your eye level, we, in our minds, think it's sunset, like the sun is setting. So all of a sudden our minds just slow down a little bit. Music as well, like frequencies of music is so powerful. And so just by changing that frequency of music that's in the kitchen, slow it down. If it's around a dining table, have softer cushions on the chairs, like just really literally physically soften the area so that people don't feel like bright, effervescent, on all the time, that you just allow everybody's nervous system to relax and go, I don't have to be in fight mode. We can just relax just a little bit.
Oh, that's such a good tip. And just tell me, like, what sort of music would you listen to on a Friday evening when you turn down the lights, or throughout the weekend? Is it different to the music you might listen to during the week?
Yeah, like my playlist is, I have literally one for all of it. Do you know what's a really nice idea? And this is a really lovely thing to get to know your home, is make a playlist. So give your name a home. I know this sounds mad, but give your name a home. Ours is called Rio. And because we live on a road, like that's called, so it's called Rio. And I have a playlist just for Rio. And it's all the songs that I can put it on a Saturday morning. I could have put it on a Friday night. Like, it's just a mixture of music that just, it's really energetically balanced all the way through. And so you pick the music because you know you and your family and what your home needs. Do you need leveling up? Or do you need leveling down? So just make yourself a playlist for your home that you can put on. And you could do a Friday night one. You could do a Saturday morning one. And just pop it on. Like a lot of TVs, you can share from your phone onto your TV as well. And just have it playing, because then you're sort of setting the tone to say, this is the level of energy that we want. And, you know, energy matches. That's why crystals work. I don't know if you're into crystals or whatever, but that's how crystals work, because they give off a vibration. So every emotion we have, whether that's wealth or happiness or love, it all has a vibration, and each of these crystals has a vibration. So like rose quartz, for example, is all about like opening the heart and love. So it gives off that vibration. We go near it. We think it's safe for our vibration to match the same. So that's how it works. So that's how music works. That's how people work. That's how your home works. And so just, yeah, make that playlist, because it's a really fun thing to do.
A short break to remind you that Boyne Valley Honey is the official breakfast partner of Pieta's Darkness into Light 2026, proudly supported by Electric Ireland. If you're in store this week, look out for the promotional packs of Boyne Valley Honey, because 25 cents from each one goes directly to Pieta, who are providing life-saving support all across the country. It's a really easy way to support such an important cause. Boyne Valley Honey's promotional packs are available in stores nationwide. Okay, so the big part of why I felt drawn to your energy this week, Kimberly, was the year of the horse. And I was so looking forward to the year of the horse. And then January, February, March, April didn't go the way that I thought it might. I was ready to, you know, step into this incredible version of myself, become healthier, happier, fitter. And I have just been hanging on for dear life since we got into this new phase, which I know things started in February. So tell us about the year of the horse so far and what sort of transitional period we're in at the moment.
You're not alone. And somebody actually messaged me the other day and they said, Kimberly, is 2026 broken? I was like, it's not broken. And I think if you know what's coming, it's much easier to plan for. Like if I was going to tell you today, it's going to throw it down all day, you'll go out with your raincoat, you'll have a much better day than if you went out in your shorts and t-shirt. So if you can plan for what's coming, and this is what all the zodiac animals were for, like back thousands of years ago, they were put into cycles, and knowing these cycles meant that everybody could plan for the type of year that we would have. So actually we had this transition from the wood snake, which was last year, coming into the fire horse. So wood and fire are very different elements. So again, this ties back to what I was talking about earlier. So wood is growth, but it's about the foundations, really sort of digging in to the ground. It's strong, it's slow, it's steady. And then the snake is, to some, quite like an elegant creature, but it sheds and it only pounces when it really needs to. So it sits in the background for a while. So this was last year, sits in the background for a while, but when you're ready, you go. But the most important thing about last year was the shedding of the snake before we move into the year of the fire horse. So again, we've gone from wood to fire, very different. Snake to horse, very different. And the horse doesn't all of a sudden start galloping at all. It's very much in its nature's way. So I think people had these high expectations of coming into February and going, oh, everything is just going to start off. But actually the horse was just in its paddock waiting. Yeah. It was just gathering its energy. It's saving its energy because we've got a whole year ahead. And it was all about having a look what was around. A horse is a very flighty animal. It will only move either in fear, which is what's happened to some people, or when it's ready and it will go. So we didn't want the horse to bolt at the beginning of the year because it's got a long way to go. So actually the beginning of the year is all about choosing the direction that we want to go in, not trying to get the horse to go before it's ready, because otherwise it would be a very long year. So the energy is revving up a little bit. Now, what we have to be very aware of is the fire energy. And we actually have, in Feng Shui, we go in these cycles. So like the zodiac cycles, we also have the 20-year cycle as well. And the 20-year cycle that we're in at the moment started in February 2024, and that is a cycle of fire. So for 20 years, we're in this cycle of fire, and we've got the year of the fire horse. And then at the beginning of May in China, you're coming into summer, which is represented by fire as well. So as of today, ladies and gentlemen, the fire energy is coming threefold. And don't be scared of it, but we just have to be really aware as to where we put our energy, because, and this is what I said yesterday in my reel, that a horse can't gallop with baggage. We've had all of this opportunity from the year of the wood snake to shed, to get rid of things, to prepare, to visualize, to get ready. Last month was all about laying these strong foundations before growth. So May is about growth. It's about this time now, the horse is going to start galloping and that pressure is going to start building. And there's still time. So please don't listen to this and think, oh, great. The rest of my 2026 is still going to be broken. But it's about being really clear this weekend of the weekend of the full moon before we really step into May. What is it? And you will know deep down what it is that you've got to let go of, because there's two, I feel a bit emotional. That shows me that I need to do some more work. There's two very different feelings. One is it's not aligned. It needs to stop, whether that's people, situations, or emotions. Sorry, that was a really loud motorbike outside.
That was weird timing, wasn't it?
I know, it was weird timing. Yeah. There's it might be like people, emotions, or situations, or it could be old versions of yourself as well.
Ooh, yeah.
And we need to be really clear about not taking them forwards, because only then can you grow. And for me, and I talk a lot about this on my podcast as well, so I don't mind talking about it, it's about the fear of people talking badly about me. For example, like I'm putting myself out there, like, and, you know, I'm a mum, my daughter's 13, and I sometimes get this thing and think, oh, what if, you know, something comes back or somebody says something, and I take it really personal. And I've been working really hard, because I know to get to where I want to go to and to be able to share what I'm sharing with, I have to be okay with the fact that not everybody is going to like me. And I'm such a people pleaser. And so that's something that I've had to really work on. Also, I'm an empath. Like I deal with emotions and feelings all the time. So what is it that you need to let go of? So for me, it's the fear of what people think of me in order for me to really grow from strong foundations. Because if that fear is still there, my growth isn't on strong foundations. It's still on something really unstable. And that's when the pressure is going to come. And then that's when that burnout, overwhelm, anxiety feeling is going to come from. And I don't want that, because I've been in that situation before.
How can you let go of that?
So I had an amazing session with an incredible astrologer at the beginning of the year. And he picked up on it. So he was looking at my chart and saying, okay, so this is your shade area. It's all about other people and, you know, all of these things. And he said, he didn't use the word shade. It was another word that began with SH. And he said, when people throw their shade at you, he said, you can decide what you want to do with that shade. And you can stand and you can let it hit you and you absorb it. He said, you can stand and you can catch the shade and you can throw it right back at them with venom. And that's sometimes where I come, although I'm really cool and calm and collected, like sometimes that mama bear energy will come out and I'll be like, no, like if you'd listened to the whole thing or done all that, like, you know, prove myself right. And he said, or Kimberly, there is one option where you can just dip your shoulder and let the shade past you and go, that's not my shade, that's yours.
Oh, so powerful.
And after he said that, there was something a week later that was written, you know, on somebody's Instagram about me. And normally I would have been really upset about it. And I actually just sort of went, oh, that's what he was talking about. So please don't think it's easy for me to not do that. But if, like, and it will test you, all of these things will come up. Your worst fears will come up about what it is you've got to let go of. If it's a person, you'll probably get a message from them this weekend, or something will remind you of them. And you go, oh, should I reach out? It's like a test to go, are you really ready to let go? And so that for me, with that person saying something online, for me was that test to go, can you really handle it? Can you handle the truth? Can you handle what's going on out there? And I'm like, yeah, I can actually. I still have to work on it. I don't find it easy, but letting go of those versions of yourself. The other thing is like your wardrobe. How much of your wardrobe represents your life now?
Oh, I can't believe you're saying this, because last year I was looking through my wardrobe and I came across this brown jumper that I'd been hanging on to for years in case I ever went back to my old job in the office, because I wore that jumper there. And then I started to like clear out my wardrobe. I found my wig. I was like, why am I hanging on to this? And so I took out everything. And yeah, just wow. I love that you said this.
It's so important. And it's also pictures. It's stuff on your bookshelf, like from previous jobs and Have you still got a lanyard from a job that you know you'll never go back to? Like all of those random things that you like, oh, well, it's a nice memory. I know I used to work at Boots Head Office in Nottingham. Like, I don't need my lanyard to show me that I used to work there because I'm not going back there. It's amazing. No shade on Boots, but I know I'm not going back there. And so, I mean, I was forced to do it because we moved to Australia. We didn't ship anything over. I literally landed with two suitcases. And I cannot tell you how powerful it is. My wardrobe now literally looks like there's no meat on the bones in there. I've got, like, I wear this like, a version of like four white t-shirts and two pairs of jeans, and that's like me done. But I can't tell you how lovely it is because they're nice stuff. They're quality stuff. I haven't got, you know, my underwear drawer hasn't got the stuff in it that, you know, has been washed 3 billion times and is all a different shade of nude. Like, it's nice stuff and it doesn't have to cost you a fortune, but you put it on, you're like, I'm worthy of this. I'm worthy of not drinking from a mug that's got a chip in it. Like, all of this stuff, this weekend, let it go because you've got to build from these really strong foundations as to where you're going. Because if you don't get it right in May, June's going to feel even worse and July's going to feel even more worse. That's awful English, but it's going to escalate. August is for alignment. So we've got 3 months before everything is going to feel aligned, but you're only going to feel aligned if you've done all this before. And so doing this scary stuff, like getting rid of things, there's a distinct difference between deep in my gut, I know this isn't right, person, situation, old version of yourself, or there's a feeling of, I want to do this, it's aligned, but it's scary. There's a slither of a difference between those two feelings. And putting yourself out there, you know, is scary. In my 40s, like putting myself out all of a sudden on Instagram, you think, oh, what am I doing? Like, I wear the same clothes all the time. Like, you criticize yourself so much, but you're only seeing you. When other people see you, they're seeing you in their own eyes, and everybody will see you completely differently. So don't let yourself get in your own way of what you want to do, because the year of the fire horse, it wants to put you in the place of fun, of safety, like the horses together galloping in a herd. Like, that's where you want to be. You don't want to be the horse that's bolting from something that you're too scared of.
Oh, I love it. So finally, this episode is going out on Sunday. So most people will listen to this episode either on Sunday or Monday, especially if I a specific reason to listen as soon as it's released, which is we're in this period and there's certain things that we need to get on and do. Yeah. So if someone's listening on Sunday or Monday, what can we do? I know that there's big work to be done, as in letting go what other people think of us, and there may be some rooms or drawers that need to be uncluttered. But is there little tiny things that will just take a minute or two that we can free ourselves up?
Definitely. And, you know, we've got until probably like the middle of next, like Wednesday, Thursday, before it really kicks in with the May energy from the fire horse. But just even just making the decision that you are going to let go of these things, the people, the situations, the emotions, you're going to try a little bit harder. And I always think writing down stuff is really powerful, not on your phone, like actually on a list, and say, I am making a commitment to myself to do this. Like, that stuff that feels so out of alignment, and it does take a difficult conversation, but it's like ripping off the band-aid. Like, it will be awful, but it will free up the rest of your year. So make that decision to do it. You can also, remember what I said about the front door and the new opportunities, open it up, dust it down, be the mad woman with a brush at the front of your door, dust it down and say out loud, I welcome in all the great opportunities that give me health, wealth and happiness. And say it out loud and say it with intention and just see what comes in. And then just walk around your house and just say hi to it. Like, thank it for looking after you, because there'll be highs, there'll be lows, there might be huge highs, huge lows. But whatever's happened, your house has looked after you through it. Like, make a commitment to build a relationship with your home and to be grateful to it. And just, you know, you can even put your hand on the wall and just say thank you for looking after it. And the amount of people that have done that and have actually found it really emotional is quite amazing. So just start with that. Like, it's not meant to be overwhelming, but just being aware that there's greater stuff going on and that there is something that you can do about it is so powerful, and it will make the rest of your year feel so much better.
Wow. Because I found a lump in my breast in the middle of the night in my bed, and that was 8 years ago. And my bedroom, I still hold a little bit of resentment in there. And it was really interesting what you said about the spilling of water, because I keep spilling water on my bedside table. But, and what is that trying to tell me? Like, I still wake up in the middle of the night every single night and feel scared because I lie in the same position I was in when I found my lump. My bedroom is still the same. And my bedside locker, where I keep spilling all the water, is obviously trying to tell me something.
So water is also linked to emotion. So that water sort of energy can feel quite heavy. Water can be two things. One is either like a whooshing of a wave coming through of energy, but it can also be quite a pull, like a deep emotional, quite lonely feeling as well, like with the water. It could just be that that energy is off a little bit, and it may need a little bit of grounding. Or do you keep anything under your bed? Like, trying to keep it clear is quite a good energetic thing, because everything under your bed will, like, that energy will come up.
It's so weird that you say that, because I also covered this on my podcast last year, and I know that you shouldn't sleep on top of things that have a lot of energy. But do you know what I sleep on top of? Underneath my side of the bed is all of my husband's, like, work, all of his workout gear, all of his running gear, all of his, like, race shirts from all the half marathons we've done. I sleep on top of that every single night.
That's quite a lot of energy. And also, because I know the running side of it for you is like the raising awareness and the coming. So it's all embodied around what you've been through. And so those races, it's not like it's his Sunday morning running gear.
Yeah.
It's what those races represent, which was your situation then. I've got goosebumps. I would say try moving it.
Yeah. And what would you suggest if I had to put something else in that drawer?
Anything soft. So towels, bed linen, hoodies, tracksuit bottoms, all of that stuff. But nothing that holds, like, you know, a towel, you'd be like, it's a towel. There's no emotional attachment to it. So plain stuff that is, that doesn't have, like, no crystals, no mirrors, no shoes, bags,
boots, lanyards,
pictures of ex-partners. All it's amazing what lives underneath people's beds. Just keeping it clear. So I think, especially for you, that's where that energy is coming from, and you're going round in circles because it's there, and energetically, it's there. So just see if you can swap it out with something else. And I would say, and when you do it, can you open like your bedroom doors and windows as well and just let it breathe a little bit? Because it will take a while for that energy to go. And like, thank the stuff and be like, thank you. I still want you, but I just can't have you underneath my bed anymore. I'm just going to move you out.
Oh. I absolutely
and you must
love
let
it.
Me know, because I know it's going to change. I know it's going to change for you.
Oh, thank you, Kimberly. You are a gift to us all. I will link your Instagram in the show notes if anyone wants to pop in, follow you, send you a message. I will link your podcast, which I love too. I didn't actually know that you did private consultations with people. So I presume people can reach out and chat to you privately if they feel drawn to that.
Absolutely. I'm here to help.
Oh, fabulous. So it's Friday evening in Australia where you live. Just tell us quickly what your plans are for the evening.
Oh, I'd love to say it's really exciting, but my daughter Rose, so tomorrow morning we're up at 4 and out rowing at 5. So we have the Gold Coast lifestyle here is like early to bed, early get up, and a massive coffee culture. So I'll be dreaming of my coffee for tomorrow morning. So it's a morning on the water for Immy, and I help out with the mums from school doing the breakfast for the girls. It's really wholesome times. It's lovely. I'm really lucky.
Oh, you're a fabulous person, Kimberly. And the last thing I'll say, because it just came up with me, because I know so many teachers listen to The Good Glow, and from running with a lot of teachers and spending time with them, I know a lot of them feel burnt out, but they have this passion to teach people. And it's so interesting to me that you just moved that passion into something that you were passionate about. You know, so you're still teaching people, but you're teaching them about something that you love. And wow, you're changing the world. So thank you so much, Kimberly. And I hope I'll get to see you again sometime.
Oh, it's been such a joy. Thank you so much.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed that podcast with Kimberly. As I said, I've linked her Instagram in the show notes. I loved this chat with her, and I've got lots of things to do now on my to-do list. It's just gotten even longer, but really exciting work to be done in my house. So myself and Claire were back with Soul Sisters, and we recorded a little bonus episode this week on Belle Burden. If you haven't heard of Belle, she wrote a book called Strangers. It's a number one New York Times bestseller and has basically gone viral all over the world. She was a guest on Oprah's podcast a couple of weeks ago. So Belle's story is so fascinating. Her husband left her during the COVID pandemic. They had this beautiful life on Martha's Vineyard. And one day during COVID, her phone rang and it was a man telling her that her husband James was having an affair with his wife. And what happens next is absolutely mind-blowing. So if you want to listen to that episode, I've linked it in the show notes below. We were getting messages this week from people saying they couldn't get out of their cars. They were so gripped. Loads of people ordered the book afterwards, and we really enjoyed this chat. So I've linked it below if you'd like to catch up. And yeah, thanks for tuning in. Big thanks to Boyne Valley Honey for all the support, and I hope you have a great week.